The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus came down with the 12 and stood on a stretch of level ground with a great crowd of his disciples and a large number of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and the coastal regions of Tyre and Sidon. And raising his eyes toward his disciples, he said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for the kingdom of God is yours. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who now are weeping, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and they exclude you, and insult you, and denounce your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice and leap for joy on that day. Behold, your reward will be great in heaven. For their ancestors treated the prophets in the same way. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are filled now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will grieve and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for their ancestors treated the false prophets in the same way." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. As we all know, our world is now full of free advice. In our use of social media, we can become overwhelmed with all this free advice. Today we can Google almost anything we can think of or are curious about and find more information about our problems or curiosities than we could possibly read in one day. It seems that whatever problem we may have or difficult situations we are in, there's at least 24 experts, all with a different opinion. And perhaps our untiring search for answers to our questions stem from us worrying about things too much. We worry too much. If we allow, we can find any number of things to occupy our thoughts and aggravate us. We worry that we might not have all the resources necessary to be successful, that we are poor in terms of location, money, intellectual ability, whatever. But Jesus says, choose the kingdom of God instead. We worry that we will not have enough of what we desire or need from our social surroundings. And so we worry about being left out, hungry for human attention. But Jesus says, you will be satisfied. We worry that we will have to endure suffering and sadness. Suffering that will bring great tears, great bitter tears to our eyes. But Jesus says, there is always a grace to be found in every situation. Find it and know that I am with you. We worry that people will reject us for our ideas or the way we live our lives, especially if we profess a faith in Jesus Christ and are Catholic, only to be topped off if they find you were a chemist. But oh well. But Jesus says, I am enough for you are mine. In all of this, what we really are looking for is peace in our day, which we usually define as a time free of problems. But that's not peace. Peace is the presence of God, Jesus, in our lives, suffering or not. Today we encounter Jesus gathering all of his followers on level ground. And he is telling them and us about life and giving them, as us, answers to the questions that daily life often brings up. These teachings are known as the Beatitudes and are found in both the Gospel of Matthew and Luke. Today's readings were from the Gospel of Luke, which emphasize basic human needs more than the one in Matthew, with all of us, though, at the same level. And it's from this level place that Jesus begins to fan the spark of divine love that is hidden within each and every one of us. Flames that will totally engulf us with the gifts of salvation and bringing us to eternal life. In fact, Jesus reaches into our lives not just to fix one or two things or to resolve a particular uncomfortable situation, but to bring us home to our Heavenly Father. He ignites within our soul something that is already there and was placed there at the moment of our creation, so that true and lasting happiness might be ours. The blessing and the woes that Jesus describes in today's Gospels shows us how a life can be lived for the kingdom of God in this world. A world in which we are now currently in. St. Ignatius' first principle and foundation of a spiritual life was said, we are to choose only those things that lead us closer to God and reject and push away everything else that does not bring us closer to Him. A life rooted in God. The prophet Jeremiah warns us that without being rooted in God, the human person is rendered sterile. They're a hollow shell, unproductive without growth, a plant in the middle of a lava flow, a plant that is in the middle of a salt desert, a barren bush. Old sins of self-worth, self-praise, pride, lack of humility, we call narcissism, which is putting ourselves at the center of our universe. Think for a moment, if you would, who is at the center of your universe? Are you the center of your universe? Are your friends the center of your universe? Do they pretty much dictate what goes on in your life? Is your family the center of your universe? Noble thought. Is money and climbing the corporate ladder of success your universe? Are you the director of your universe as you gain power, prestige, and money? Or is God at the center of your universe as we quietly listen for His word and presence? By recognizing God as the true center of our life and acting accordingly, we gain balance and harmony with God in the world. In today's gospel, Jesus presents to us a way of life that is radical, that is different, one that gives happiness and is stable and enduring. One that leads us beyond the visible world and is part of our human makeup. As told to us by St. Basil the Great in his detailed rules for monks put together in the 4th century, love of God cannot be taught to us as a physical or an academic subject is. We cannot learn these about God and His love for us like we went to school and learned our ABCs and all of that. We do not learn from a teacher or from a book on how to live in God's love and mercy. How to love our wives, our husbands, our children, parents, guardians. How to love our neighbor. Our relationship with God does not come to us by someone teaching us the 10 easy steps to love God. As soon as we come into being, the power of reason and the spark of divine love and wisdom is implanted into our soul, giving us the ability, the desire to love God, and the need to be loved by God. This is things we do not learn. This is intuitive. The proof of this is not to be sought outside of ourselves, however. You're probably saying, well, prove it. Okay. You can't do it outside of yourself. I can't do it for you. But each One of us must learn from that which is in ourselves already. As God often said, be still and know that I am. For as human, created in the likeness and image of God, we love what is related to us, what belongs to us, our wives, our spouse, our husband, our children, God. No one has taught you how to love your bride or your groom as you entered into holy matrimony. It was just there. It was meant to be. No one has taught us how to love our sons and daughters as they entered into the world when we first held them for the first time. That can't be taught. That is just who we are. And so, if the love of God lives in us, as it does because we are baptized, and he makes himself known to us, as he does in confirmation and the Eucharist, we will come to know him and love him, for we are his children. And as you love your children and spouse, so God the Father loves you. God bless you.